Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to Sister Wives with Mary Jane Kay. Today, I'll be giving my commentary on Seeking Sister Wives, Season 5, Episode 7, Seeking Answers. The episode opens with the Merrifields. Garrick is chilling, his in-laws are there, his brother-in-law and sister-in-law are there. He is going to break the news that he and Danielle are now engaged to Natalia. Garrick is shitting bricks. He knows that Danielle's family is concerned, especially with how things went down with Roberta. So breaking this news isn't going to be easy. So Garrick mentions how eventful the trip was. In fact, he proposed, and Danielle's dad looks pissed when he hears this. He starts breathing really hard from his upper chest. He looks angry, and you know, he should be. If I were Danielle's friend or her family member, I would be really pissed. Really fucking pissed about this. Sam, Danielle's brother, is shocked by the news, and Garrick explains that he's an engaged man now. And you know, if looks could kill, I feel like Garrick would no longer be in this world with the way Danielle's family is staring at him. The look in Sam and Samantha's eyes, the look in Danielle's dad's eyes, that says all you need to know about how they feel about this. Danielle deserves better for herself. And you know what? She has an amazing support system around her, there to help her, there to have her back. And you know, she is already legally divorced from Garrick. She has admitted that in her gut, she knows all of this is wrong. She doesn't feel good about this. She has a lot of trepidation. She has a lot of hesitation. She knows it's wrong. But Garrick wants this, and Danielle wants Garrick. She should leave Garrick. Instead, she's sitting there. She's helping Garrick wrangle women for his cult. She's chugging that Kool-Aid, and it's sad, and it's ridiculous. Because I feel Danielle knows in her gut and in her heart that this is wrong for her, that this is wrong for the women that she brings in, that Garrick is only thinking with his dick, that he doesn't have the right intentions here. Now, Danielle's family can't believe that now Garrick's proposed, Natalia said yes. They can't even believe this. They can't believe Garrick has already proposed to another girl so soon, right after Roberta left them. And of course, they repeat the obvious that this is history repeating itself. The same thing that happened with Roberta seems to be happening again. Sam's response to this is it's way too soon, it's crazy, this is too intense, and Samantha has no words. She's speechless. She wonders why they are doing this at all. She thinks it's crazy, it's way too fast, especially with considering what just happened with Roberta at this point just months ago. Danielle's dad looks beyond frustrated. And so he asks Garrick, are you really sure about this? Do you really want to do this? And Garrick doesn't have a straightforward answer. So he deflects to God. As usual, he tries to invoke God to deflect, to try and manipulate Danielle's dad to avoid answering the question. This valid question that Danielle's dad has. Is this the right thing to do? Are you sure you want to do this? Now, Garrick tells Danielle's dad he's sure about this, and he says he knows because God spoke to them and they felt God's confirmation about this for sure already. So it's from God, and no one's supposed to argue with that. Samantha, of course, has a question, and she wants to know, and I love this question, how long after Garrick met Natalia it was when God wanted him to marry her, when he got that sign from God. I would say it was as soon as Garrick saw Natalia's pictures and his dick went up. I would say that's when he got the signal. Samantha wants to know when Garrick got the signal from God, when he knew from God that it was time, that God wanted him to marry her, because she feels it's only been 2 months, he's already proposed, and he proposed the first time he met her after just 2 months. This is his first time meeting her. That's it. They're getting married. Samantha, of course, feels Garrick has a screw loose, as do all of the viewers. She mentions how this is exactly what Garrick did with Roberta. He acted based on his feelings and he did something stupid and he's doing it again. At this point, Samantha is glaring at Garrick. And Sam tells Garrick that he is crazy. He flat out says, "Hey, buddy, you're crazy." Samantha is really shocked with how fast-paced things are, with how quickly they're moving, because this thing with Roberta just happened recently, and he's already jumping in to getting married again, repeating the same behavior again, 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 and expecting different results. What is that the definition of? Insanity. And Samantha really notices that they're doing the exact same thing. It hasn't been too long. They're proposing. And this girl happens to be in the exact same situation that Roberta was in. And she also doesn't even speak a lick of English. And Samantha is noticing that Garrick is going after girls in the same type of situation. They can't speak English. They don't have resources. They need money. Why is Garrick preying on these women? He wants them to come to America, be lost here. They can't speak the language. They don't have the resources. They don't have the communication skills. They don't know what resources are at their fingertips, and they're trapped and they're dependent on Garrick for survival, for financial stability, for a roof over their head, for new opportunities. They become dependent on Garrick, and he's picking women that he knows will be dependent on him. Luckily, though, Natalia has her mom, and I have a feeling she has more support and more resources than Garrick will be bargaining for. Sam explains to Garrick that he feels like it's like Garrick is underwater and he's not even coming up to take a single breath. Instead, he's just going deeper and deeper. And Sam is frustrated by this. He's frustrated to see somebody do the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. He says he's trying to just mind his own business, but he really doesn't want to see his brother-in-law and his sister get hurt again if things don't work out with Natalia. He says that Garrick and Danielle, they're both very sensitive. They're very emotional people. It's a lot. And Garrick and Danielle come to Sam and they come to Samantha for all of their support, for all of that attention when they have these situations and they get hurt, and it's really hard to have to see it. So Samantha is concerned about this and she wants to know, well, is there going to be a wedding? And we learn, of course, Natalia wants a wedding. And Danielle explains there may not be a wedding in the U.S. yet. They're deciding between a K-1 visa or a marriage visa. So Garrick and Natalia might get married first in Brazil, and then they would apply for a marriage visa rather than a K-1 visa. So the next step is going to be figuring all of it out. So Garrick says they might have to legally get married in Brazil, he and Natalia on their own, in Natalia's country by a judge. Then they would have to submit that marriage certificate to do a marriage visa in the U.S. So Samantha asks Garrick if Natalia is actually planning to move to the U.S. And Garrick says they still have to figure that out. And he tells Samantha, Natalia has a degree to be a lawyer. And of course, Samantha smells the bullshit. It stings to high heaven. And she's like, mm-hmm. Her response is, mm-hmm. Yeah, she's studying to be a lawyer. Garrick assures Samantha that he's going to encourage Natalia to continue pursuing her education, her career as a lawyer. And he says Natalia is so ambitious that she wants to open her own practice. So Samantha then asks Garrick if Natalia needs money, if she asks for anything, because she says Roberta needed money. And Garrick says Natalia's dad has a really good job. He'll be the one to take care of it. He's well off. He doesn't need to worry. Sam really has his sister's back. I have to give it to him. He wants to know if there's going to be a prenup. And he tells Garrick in front of cameras that Danielle is legally divorced. So he points out that if Garrick marries somebody else legally and there is no prenup, if something happens, you know, that lady could take everything, or she could divorce Garrick. And Danielle needs to be safe. She's not the legal wife anymore. She needs to be safe as the mother of his kids, as his wife for 20 plus years. So Danielle acknowledges that's true. That's a good point. And she says they've thought about it. Maybe not hard enough, because there needs to be a prenup.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Now, Samantha tells Garrick that she knows he feels this is what God wants for him, but she wonders about what if what happened with Roberta happens again with Natalia? It's a great question that Garrick refuses to entertain. Garrick thinks that Danielle's family, they have that fear, they have that worry, and he acknowledges there are things in a polygamous relationship you would never have to face in a monogamous relationship. Sam asks if maybe Garrick thinks, since that's the case, that maybe it would be better for Natalia to first see how the family works and maybe to get to know Natalia more on a personal level and in person before asking her to marry him. This is the first time that Garrick has met her after 2 months. And the thing with Roberta just happened not that long ago. So this is crazy. He doesn't even know her, and he's made her a designer ring and gonna marry her and gonna go to Brazil and leave his kids and wife behind for a month to be with her. This is crazy. Now, Garrick tells Sam, listen, we are just obeying God. He says they're just obeying God, and he looks at Danielle as he's saying this, and he tells Sam that they have both felt God talk to them before they went to Mexico. He says that he and Danielle, they both felt this cloud of the Holy Spirit, holy, 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 flowing over them with this laughter and joy that just came over them. Oh, so holy. And they were laughing and they were happy in that cloud of holiness, thinking, oh my God, this is crazy. I don't know if these two were touched by God or if they were touched in the head. Sam clearly, from the look on his face, doesn't like Garrick's God manipulations and deflections to God from answering important questions, because Sam glares at this answer. He knows it's bullshit, and he says he isn't sure it'll work. He feels the odds are 40-60 with 60% that it won't work. I think that's being generous. Samantha is baffled by all of this. She is speechless. She is just baffled. And I feel Danielle's family was asking all of the right questions, and I think it's too bad that Danielle wasn't listening to the answers or non-answers that Garrick was giving through all of it. It was all bullshit. It was all deflection, deflecting to God, and he didn't give one straightforward answers, and these were important questions, and all he did was deflection and reverting to God in his extra medium wife beater, sitting there on the couch, showing off his pasty noodle arms. Next up is the Davis family. The ladies are headed to break shit and smash, smash, smash to relieve the tension in the house. April thinks that the women all hanging out, bonding, spending this time together, that this is the perfect time to make Danielle feel more comfortable, especially about dating. April really wants Danielle to not be afraid to open up and to express her feelings. Yeah, but when she was expressing her feelings and opening up before about not being ready to date before she moved out, everyone was just railroading her and frustrated with her and just insisting on it, talking about how excited they were, completely ignoring her feelings, completely ignoring her voice. And now April wants Danielle to not be afraid to open up and express her feelings. Danielle is the newest wife, and she's also the newest to polygamy. This is her first polygamous relationship. And now she feels that her sister wives are starting to get that this is all new to her. She is not in the same position as they were when they entered into this situation. So April really feels that the sister-wife relationship is much more important, even more important than a husband in the relationship, especially in some situations because the sister-wife relationship is not as easy to maintain as a husband and wife relationship. So April really wants all of them to talk, and she wants to talk about starting to date again. She really wants to add more sister-wives. And she really wants to see where Danielle is at with all of this and with trying to bring in another wife. Because last time they brought up dating, Danielle moved out. So April is scared to bring this up because she doesn't want Danielle moving out again. She has a lot of concerns about bringing it up at all. You know, if Danielle wasn't okay with dating before and she moved out over it, then I doubt she's going to all of a sudden be okay with this a couple months later. Next up are the Salahuddins. They're going out to meet a potential sister wife, Alexis. This is their second time meeting Alexis. Alexis is 26 and they met her at the pool hall. So this is meeting number two and it's a little awkward because things didn't work out with Keisha and that is still brand new. So Nyla is very skeptical about Alexis. She's very skeptical that Alexis is ready for this, that she's mature enough for something like this, or that Alexis is even sister wife material. She is very skeptical, but Naeem kind of likes her. So Nyla is going to give Alexis a chance. Initially, Nyla felt it was a no, but Naeem wanted to try and he just wants to experience going out and having fun, loosening up. And he doesn't mind that maybe she's not the right fit. He just wants to see. So Nyla thinks Alexis might be too young. And she feels that Alexis is definitely no Keisha. She's still not over Keisha. So Naeem says Nyla is really nervous about meeting people in person, but he really thinks this is the best way to go with dating. He hates seeing his wife hurt though when things don't work out. So with dating with the Salahuddins, when it comes to dating online, Nyla will take the lead. And when it comes to in real life, in-person dating, Naeem is the one who takes the lead. So Nyla is trying to go with Naeem and give this girl a second chance. And she hopes that Alexis is going to be into the same things as them or have things in common. And right away, Alexis walks in and Naeem has a problem with what she's wearing. He didn't feel like Alexis was dressed appropriately for the location. And he feels like when you're going to go out for drinks, then you should wear a nice outfit. Alexis was just wearing shorts and a top. It was maybe more on the casual side, but I didn't think that it was inappropriate or it wasn't nice enough or anything like that. But Nyla feels that Alexis is barely dressed. Naeem is concerned because he wants a woman who knows how to carry herself. You can tell that Alexis is a little more immature than them. She's definitely like at least a decade younger, if not more. So Alexis was excited to see Nyla and Naeem again. And she felt like they had a really good connection and she feels positive about it. She thinks that that vibe is going to continue. And Nyla and Naeem are kind of looking for something, I think, more serious. So Nyla asks Alexis what she thinks about Naeem. And Alexis says she feels that she meshes really well with him. He's funny. And Nyla mentions her boundaries, that she expects respecting the boundaries, respecting the guidelines. Like, for example, there are no one-on-one dates between Alexis and Naeem or Alexis and Nyla initially. And Alexis was expecting the opposite. She was expecting, especially at first, several one-on-one dates, especially with Naeem. Alexis was expecting that the group would come together and do the group dating after the one-on-one dates. So Nyla says they do it the other way around. And Alexis really wants to shake things up. Nyla is concerned and she wants to know why Alexis assumed that she would just be dating Naeem alone and at first when she's going to be part of a polygamous situation and a sister wife in this relationship. And that really threw Nyla off, that at first the priority for Alexis would be the one-on-one dates with Naeem, because this was very reminiscent of the past experiences Nyla and Naeem had where the woman will come in and the woman just wants Naeem and to just be with Naeem, and the woman doesn't really fit the family unit and fit with the sister wife. So the date wasn't really going well. It's not a good fit. There's no chemistry there. There's no similar mentalities or ways of thinking. There's just not a connection there. No love connection. Next up are the Ryans, back from stalking Stephanie. And Becky feels it couldn't have gone worse. They didn't really even get to talk to Stephanie. Becky explains that Stephanie was pissed that they were there. And she was asking them, why are you even here? She was shocked that they were there. And she told them she was dating someone else. And Becky was surprised by all of this. And Becky was surprised by the shock and the frustration that they showed up there when they weren't welcome to be there. They weren't invited any longer.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Becky is heartbroken and she feels betrayed by this. And she wonders if Stephanie was lying to them the whole time. And she wonders if any of Stephanie was true or real. I wonder if the Ryans were true or real. I wonder about the Ryans' motivations. I wonder about their intentions. You know, Stephanie, in a slight sense, may have been taking them for a ride. Maybe she took advantage of the financial opportunities they threw at her. And if so, they are the ones who freely volunteered to open their wallets and offer these things, hoping that money was leverage for Stephanie's love, loyalty, and time. They felt entitled to Stephanie because they paid for shit for her. They volunteered to open their wallets. And let's not forget, they were the ones who decided to pay this woman's gym membership just to try and butter her up with some financial lovin' so that she might be with them. I doubt Stephanie asked for a penny from them. And I think Stephanie took what they offered and they projected their feelings, how they feel about her, onto her, even though she made herself clear the whole time. That's my opinion on that. She took what they kept offering her, that's on them. And just because they paid for shit or they felt a way about her, it doesn't make them entitled to her love. She doesn't owe them anything. It doesn't make them entitled to her. It doesn't make them entitled to her time or her attention or her body or her communication. She doesn't owe them shit. And it sounds to me like Stephanie was honest from the beginning, but these two ignored it. They ignored every red flag, and they assumed because they felt a way about Stephanie, because they paid for her, that they were then entitled to her when she seems to have made it clear to them where she stood. And now, just because they finally got the message she was always sending their way, now they finally have decided to see past their delusions, and they are pissed and they feel played when they played themselves by projecting this onto her. And now they want to be the victims and pin this all on Stephanie, the bad guy who wasn't real with them, who maybe was fake with them the whole time, as if she is the deceiver, as if she is the charlatan, when they were the ones living in the fantasy all along. Stephanie owed these two nothing. I feel like these two are delusional. They have zero boundaries, zero self-awareness. And when real life bursts their fantasy delusional bubbles, then magically this fairy tale love becomes Stephanie's fault. She's the bad guy and she wasn't real with them and they're the victims because these two are pathetic. Becky is brokenhearted. She's all broken up and she asks Justin what he's gonna do. But Justin draws the line. He's a man. And Justin feels it's too much disrespect for him. He can't take it and he can't chase that. He can't chase someone who disrespects him. Justin also says he feels that Stephanie has no respect for herself, has no respect for him, so he can't talk to her and he can't chase her. But he says initially his reaction to all this was he wanted to bust some windows, but he says he's not that type of guy. He's not going to bust windows and be a jagaloon. He's going to move on. And Justin says he feels he gave Stephanie all he could, and now he's all tapped out. Now he's out. And Becky feels it's hard for Justin to show how he feels inside. He's a man. It's hard for him to talk about his emotions. But she knows he is just devastated. But Justin says, hey, there's no sweat off his back. It's all good. He wants to keep dating. He wants to keep looking. He doesn't question the lifestyle. And he says, polygamy is strength in numbers. And he feels polygamy is bettering himself and his family. And it's what his dick wants to. Oh, Justin has no respect for Stephanie. He can't talk to her anymore because she doesn't respect him. He can't chase someone who won't respect him, who doesn't respect herself. How do you have respect for someone who doesn't respect themselves, who doesn't respect you and what your boundaries are? This man disrespected the fuck out of Stephanie. Stephanie said, don't come. He shows up, chases her, disrespects her, disrespects her boundaries by showing up at her door. When she says he is not welcome, he drives 12 hours, stalks, goes up to her gym, insists on throwing money down to try and sweeten the pot so she'll be more amenable to his fucking disgusting advances. What the fuck? He might be saying Stephanie doesn't respect him, but in my opinion, he doesn't respect her at all. Back to the Davis family, April explains that in their family, the women spearhead the dating process and all the women need to be on board, including Danielle. So the women are in charge with the dating process. And April tells Danielle that they want to start dating again. And Danielle is very nervous about it. She still has a lot of reservations about this. Now, Jennifer thinks that they might have to do things differently with Danielle in the picture, because they all move quickly, but Danielle moves at a different pace. So they're going to have to like slow things down a little bit. Jennifer and April are 100% sure. They're sure about adding more kids, about adding more wives. But Danielle isn't always on that same page. She wants to go into this though with an open heart and an open mind. But Danielle says she has had growing pains because she is the newest wife. She's in this new relationship and it's a polygamous relationship and she's really nervous about dating. And Jennifer really wants to move forward and she says they're going to know with the right person, it's just going to feel right, just the way that it did with Danielle. Danielle kind of wants to move slowly. She says she really wants to take time. She wants to get to know the potential women. And April wants to know at this point what guarantee she really has that Danielle won't leave the family again when they start dating. And Danielle says, being the third wife as a newlywed, that there is a big adjustment. And then she also has a kid to take care of, Vera. They're going to be dating women, bringing in a new wife, someone she would have to legally marry. And she's really getting used to just being in her first serious relationship, and it's a polygamous one. That is a lot to take on. She is also going to have to share Nick with another wife, and she doesn't want jealousy or insecurity to get out of hand, but she's very aware, and she says she knows it could definitely happen. April has a lot of major worries about Danielle leaving again, and she feels that something has to be different for them not to repeat the past, for Danielle to have come back, to not want to leave anymore, and she wants to know where Danielle is now that is different from before. I don't think anything is really different now. Danielle says she's open and she's honest with her feelings and that now if she feels frustrated, she's just going to run it by someone instead of just letting it fester. She says she will definitely bring it up if something's on her mind. And April really wants to make sure that Danielle feels comfortable to voice any hesitancy she has along the way. April asks Danielle if she is really serious, if she's really ready for them to start dating other women. And Danielle sighs, there's a long pause, there's a long, and she says she does want them to date, but her eyes don't look like it. Her face doesn't really look like it. But she says, moving forward, she doesn't want to close doors because she doesn't think that it would be fair for anyone. She's not really saying she's okay with dating because she's genuinely, authentically okay with dating. She's saying she's okay with dating because she knows that's a condition of her being in the family, and she doesn't want to stop the other women from doing it if that's what they want to do. But is she really genuinely in her heart of hearts down with this? Fuck no. April knows that Danielle can change her mind about dating or about even being there as a sister wife at any minute, and she could just leave. So for right now, she's trying to assuage that worry and she's trying to be cautiously optimistic. Danielle feels that bringing in someone that she may potentially legally marry, this new wife, I mean, that's going to be her legal wife. That is scary for her. And she's making a huge commitment to this woman potentially. So for Danielle, this is a huge deal, this having to legally marry this woman. And she's very hesitant about this. Moving forward, there is a lot of uncertainty and it's really scary for her. She feels afraid. If you're feeling afraid, if you're feeling uncertainty, if it's scary, if there's a lot of hesitation, there's a reason for that. And if she doesn't feel comfortable legally marrying this woman, she should say that. She should say that and they should hear that. If she doesn't want to legally marry a woman and do the family structure the way that Nick and the other wives wanted, she should have her voice and be able to say that and they should be able to accept that. And if Danielle means what the sister wives and Nick say that she does to them, then they won't mind not having her legally marry that wife or not doing the structure in that way in the future or with her. They should be okay with that. I don't blame Danielle with not being comfortable with wanting to legally marry someone that you're not actually in a relationship with just because of a family structure in this polygamous dynamic. It feels kind of culty, honestly, that the women get married and then they take the husband's last name. And the husband stays home and all of the women go out and work. They support the husband and the kids. I don't think Danielle is ready for dating. In my opinion, she's never going to be. And I think she is going to wish she stuck with her gut and kept that apartment. And she's going to wish that in the near future. Next up are the Merrifields. Garrick and his bestie from fifth grade, Bill, are hanging out together. Garrick and Bill have gone through life together, and Garrick is thankful for Bill, he says. So Bill asks Garrick about Brazil, and Garrick explains that Natalia is now part of the family. He proposed, she said yes. So now it's important that he goes to Brazil, that he spends a lot of time with her. Garrick feels with Roberta, he didn't have enough time with her. He didn't feel like he had enough time with her. And that's what hurt his relationship with Roberta. So Garrick really doesn't want to make that mistake again. And he wants to get a lot of time in just he and Natalia alone in Brazil. So Garrick really wants to try the visa process differently this time. And he wants to get married in Brazil this go round and then come back to the U.S. and apply for a marriage visa rather than a K-1. So Garrick knows there are going to be lots of hurdles to overcome with Natalia, but he's going to go to Brazil. He's going to see Natalia. They're going to get married legally in Brazil. Then right away, he's going now. He's going to stay for a month. He's going to marry her. And he's only known her 2 months. And the first time he met her in Mexico, he proposed. What a fucking nut. When he gets back to the U.S., they're going to file to get the marriage visa. And Bill is concerned about Danielle. Bill asks how Danielle feels about all this. And he knows after Roberta that Danielle was really hurt, that she's still struggling through that. And Bill wonders if all of this is hard for Danielle, if it's too hard for Danielle. And Garrick thinks Danielle's battle, what she is suffering right now, what she's battling through, is just that people suck. Roberta sucks. Roberta sucks. People suck. That's what the problem is. Pointing his finger out. People suck. It's people. Don't point the finger at me. Point the finger outward at people. Don't point the finger at me. People suck. Roberta sucks. It's not on him. He takes no accountability for the fact that he has ripped this woman's heart to shreds. And all this woman wants is Garrick. Mind be damned. Intellect be damned. Consciousness be damned. She wants this man. Her heart wants it. People suck. It's someone else. Don't look at me. That's all Garrick has to say about Danielle's battles. Garrick's friend seems more concerned about Danielle than Garrick. Garrick mentions how now Danielle wonders if Natalia will be the same, if it'll end up the way that Roberta did. And he says Danielle is cynical because of what Roberta did. And Garrick points out that even in monogamous relationships, sometimes after bad breakups, people will just quit. They'll quit relationships completely. They'll quit dating. And Garrick admits he's been struggling lately with his relationship with Danielle. You know what? Bill, Garrick's childhood friend, seems concerned about Danielle struggling. Danielle's family all seem concerned about Danielle struggling. Garrick is the only one who ignores it and he deflects to God just because he wants to get his dick wet. Everyone is concerned about Danielle, but her own husband, the father of her kids. Why is that? And he says he's all about God. This woman's husband is the only one not asking about her, not concerned about her, treating her like a pebble in his shoe he just can't get rid of. Garrick says Danielle is upset and she feels like Natalia is not as engaged with her since they left Mexico. And Garrick thinks maybe there's something to that. But Bill thinks Garrick is just a wild one. He just loves to jump all the way in. Bill straight up calls Garrick a crazy bastard. That's being too kind. Bill, the voice of reason, says it seems like it could be a lot of wasted time in Brazil. Garrick could be wasting his time there. He could be wasting a lot of money. And he doesn't think Danielle is very happy about this. And he's concerned for Danielle. So Bill asks Garrick next if he is worried about having the two women under one roof, with all of the jealousy, with all of the insecurity, with the roller coaster of emotions, especially the jealousy that comes along with intimacy when it's all under one roof. Bill is worried that hearts are going to get broken. He doesn't want anyone's heart getting broken, and he seems really concerned for Danielle. And this is Garrick's friend, so we can tell what a scumbag Garrick is and how bad he treats her. Now, Garrick thinks that if the wives get together, if they're honest, if they're loving with each other, if they love and support each other, if they care about each other, if they are looking out for each other's best interests, if they keep their egos out of it, then it will be beautiful and they will have a beautiful relationship. But if they don't follow that path, he admits, it'll be crazy. In what world are they going to follow the path of rainbows and sprinkles? There is not enough Kool-Aid in the world for that. Garrick knows it'll be crazy. This is another asshat just like Cody Brown, and he's going to blame the women for their insecurities and their jealousies with polygamy, and then he's going to say, well, it's not on me. It's not on me that the women's emotions, that their struggles with this are not on him. They're not on the man, and I'm sure Garrick will do the same. He will pick favorites, and his favorite will always be his newest addition. And Garrick says, of course, he wants at least five wives. Wife number two is just the start. Welcome to the shit show. I'm really noticing a pattern here. Danielle's family members, Garrick's friend, they will all ask tough, common sense questions, looking for straight answers, looking for accountability. And Garrick conveniently will always have no answer that looks good for him. And rather than face it head on like a man and be a man, he will then take that opportunity to deflect to God. He told his friend when he asked about the jealousy and the broken hearts with all of this, he told his friend to meet him in prayer when he is in Brazil. That's his response to that question, to meet him in prayer when he is in Brazil. And Bill says he prays for God to really help them out. You know what? Is all the pain, is all the trauma, all of the suffering, all the stress, all of the psychological harm, the emotional roller coaster, all of it to Danielle, to Danielle's family, to the family friends, is all of that worth Garrick getting his dick wet? Is this worth it? Do the risks outweigh the benefits or do the benefits outweigh the risks for everyone involved, not just selfish Garrick? Is this worth it? Is it worth it for Garrick? How is he even enjoying it when he knows how many people around him this hurts? This hurts Danielle, Danielle's parents, Danielle's brother, Danielle's brother's wife, his kids, his friends, who even are all concerned about Danielle and her suffering and her well-being. They can see her struggles. So I want to know, they can all see her struggles. They know the cause is Garrick. So for Garrick, is the sex really worth all of the hurt that he is causing? I want to know, is it worth it? Can Garrick say, by the way, that he hopes that his sons grow up to emulate him, to act like him, that he's showing a good example to his sons of what a man should be, of how a man should treat his wife, of how a man should treat the mother of his kids? Is this sex really worth all of the hurt Garrick is causing? Next up are the Salahuddins, and they are on their disaster date with Alexis. Nyla makes it clear that no one-on-one dates will happen with her husband initially. And Nyla says Alexis is just too young. She isn't on the same page with the guidelines and the boundaries that they have set when dating a potential sister wife. Alexis asks Naeem's take on all of this, on his opinion about one-on-one dates. And Naeem backs up his wife. He agrees with his wife. And Nyla was pissed that Alexis asked Naeem's opinion in front of her. She found that to be very disrespectful to her, and she found it to be presumptuous. She said it felt like Alexis assumed that maybe Nyla was the one who dictated the dating rules for herself and her husband, and that maybe Naeem wasn't on board with them, but that she's dictating them. And then she separately asked Naeem about it, thinking that Naeem would want to go on one-on-ones with her and then go against his wife. So his wife didn't like that, and she had a right. That's a huge red flag of disrespect. Naeem has his wife's back, and he explains to Alexis that if they're going to do this, they're going to do it as a unit. They all need to get to know each other together at first as a group. They all need to feel comfortable together as a group, and then they need to feel comfortable to allow each other to be alone together. And he says that's a tough thing to accomplish, but it's a good thing when it works well. And he wants enough trust between himself, his wife, and the potential sister wife to be able to take the next step. So Naeem tells Alexis that Nyla was the one who brought the lifestyle to his attention. Alexis is shocked because Alexis assumed that it was Naeem's idea. And Nyla thinks that it's really odd that most women are surprised that it wasn't the man who initiated it. That women always assume that it's the man who initiated it. But in her instance, she initiated it. Now, Naeem was very hesitant to try polygamy. He was concerned. He never wanted anything to ever interfere with the relationship he already had with his wife. But learning more about it, he saw the benefits, and he wanted to try it. And he's nervous still, even to this day, that it might interfere with his marriage. So he worries about it and he wants to be careful about it, so he maintains his marriage. And Naeem asks Alexis how she feels about possibly being in the equation. And she responds, well, they're all just meshing perfectly fine. She thinks it's fine. It'll go well. She's very surface. She's very bubbly, but you can tell that Alexis is young. She's probably over a decade younger than Naeem and Nyla. She's very bubbly, but everything is just very surface. And it's good vibes. She seems like a very nice, fun girl, but I don't know that she fully is serious and ready and understanding what Naeem and Nyla are actually looking for. So she's taking things very lightly. And she says she thinks it's fine. She thinks it'll go well. And Naeem at this point knows it's not going to work. He wants to leave. His wife wants to leave. He knows it's not going to work. He knows that it probably wasn't best to have this second date with Alexis. He says the conversations aren't good. They're all over the place. And Nyla wants to wrap it up too. They both agree it's a hell no. But Alexis just keeps talking away. She keeps eating and talking and eating and talking. And they just want out, but Alexis won't shut up. Alexis feels things went well. She says she and Nyla and Naeem, they have a lot more exploring to do. They were fun. She felt good about it. She felt good about hanging out with them. And Alexis also adds she felt very comfortable with them. But Naeem and Nyla are speechless after that date, and not in a good way. It's a no. It's an absolutely not. Hell to the no on that. Naeem feels no connection whatsoever. There are no similarities. And Nyla feels they are just worlds apart. Naeem felt like Alexis was too immature. Nyla doesn't want to give up on finding someone. She doesn't want to give up on finding a sister wife. But she says finding a sister wife and dating, that whole process is difficult. It's difficult with monogamy and it's difficult with polygamy as well. But it's who they are and they're going to pursue it because they want to live polygamy. Nyla doesn't want to give up on it. She wants to keep looking. They haven't found the one, but she is confident and they're going to keep seeking because she hopes their one is out there somewhere. Back to the Merrifields. At this point, Danielle and Garrick, they've been back home after the Mexico trip for about a month now. And Danielle looks sad. She feels things aren't where she expected them to be at this point, at least between herself and Natalia. Danielle feels like Garrick and Natalia, they're still really connecting. They're talking all day long. They're still building their relationship. They seem to talk a lot. They communicate a lot. But it seems like at this point, Danielle and her husband aren't in a good place. And Natalia and Danielle aren't in a good place. And Natalia didn't respond to Danielle's messages. Apparently, Natalia read the messages. She left them on read. She saw them. She didn't respond. And Natalia has been responding to Garrick all day long. So Danielle tells Garrick that Natalia didn't respond. And Garrick makes excuses for Natalia, saying that it's Father's Day in her country, so she's very busy. And Danielle points out that Natalia responded to him all day long, though. And Danielle feels things just haven't been good with her communicating with Natalia. And she feels that Natalia's intention is really more towards Garrick. And the bond, the sisterhood that Danielle wants, that really isn't truly important to Natalia. It's not a priority to Natalia. And this is Danielle's very big concern, and she expresses it to Garrick, and he doesn't understand it at all. He doesn't understand any of Danielle's concerns. He kind of just ignores them, sweeps them under the rug, kind of like someone else we know from another reality show about polygamy. Now, Garrick is frustrated, and he asks Danielle if Natalia responded to her on her old phone at all. And Danielle says, no, not since she got home, that Natalia hasn't been responding to her. And Garrick asks Danielle, no, you mean not all day today. He's trying to minimize that Natalia is ignoring Danielle. And Danielle says, no, she hasn't responded since she saw her messages. And she knows she's back on her phone. She's seeing the messages. She's reading the messages, but she's not responding to them yet. She's responding back to Garrick all day long. And it's making Danielle really upset. And Danielle wants to know why Natalia isn't responding when she saw her messages and she didn't answer. And she just keeps repeating this. And Danielle wants Garrick to get it, that she feels disrespected, that she feels like she's not a priority, that Natalia doesn't have the intention to want this really close sister wife thing with her if she's ignoring her messages but responding back to Garrick all day long. Danielle wants Garrick to address it. Garrick makes excuses, but Garrick reveals he has concerns about Natalia and Danielle. He hopes they work through things, and he thinks women are emotional and they're very nurturing, but he thinks at the same time, it makes women more vulnerable to thoughts or ideas that come into the mind, and then they run with that emotionally. Women run with it emotionally too, and then they're having to learn that not every thought that enters your mind is a good thought to entertain. Oh, I'm gonna have a field day with that. I would say the same thing to Garrick about his little brain. Not every woman that his little brain likes does he need to marry and bang, but he makes that custom ring. He makes that cult necklace combo. And the second he gets that ring on that finger so that it's okay in God's eyes, he parks his car in that garage Is that because God wants him to? Or was that just a crazy pang of lust that he didn't have to entertain, that he feels compelled to entertain? He felt he had to entertain it. You know, he feels Danielle shouldn't entertain every thought, but he doesn't hesitate to entertain every twinge of lust in that little, micro, teeny tiny pea brain of his. I hope for Danielle's sake he is wrapping that little brain in a lot more than prayer for protection from the stank ass and the swamp dick and the jungle stank balls. Eric is so gross. He is fucking revolting with his SK vibes and his creepy empty eyes and that disgusting fake soft voice. Oh my God, I can't fucking stand this guy and his extra medium wife beaters. Danielle continues with this fight with Garrick and she tells Garrick, you know, Natalia saw her message. She didn't respond. Garrick doesn't give a fuck. You know what? As far as the hierarchy, Garrick made it crystal clear during that first meeting in Mexico who the favorite wife was and exactly what his priority is. What I found interesting is we saw with Cody Brown how he would try and make it seem like his wives were irrational, like they were overreacting, like they were over emotional, like they were paranoid. All kinds of things he would project on them to make them look like they were crazy, like they were the ones misperceiving things. And Garrick is sitting here trying to make it look like Danielle is insecure, like Danielle is irrational, like Danielle is overreacting emotionally, thinking irrational thoughts. When all Danielle wants to know is, does my husband have my back? Does he consider me as standing beside him in this, as his equal, or is he ahead of me? Is Natalia ahead of me? Are he and Natalia ahead of me? And she wants to see, will my husband have my back or will my husband have her back? Should the chips fall? She's getting the answer and she isn't liking it. I think she sees that she and Natalia aren't close and Natalia is talking Garrick's ear off all day long and that Natalia is higher on the pyramid to Garrick than she is. And she is his wife of decades and the mother of his kids. Danielle isn't crazy. She isn't irrational. She isn't overly emotional for being upset about this. I think she can see the writing on the wall that Natalia and Garrick are way more invested in each other than Garrick is in her. And she is way invested in Garrick. And Garrick has his baby toe dipped in the pool with her. And she knows she will become the third wheel, the outsider. And it's already happening. Why can't this woman rely on her support system, take the last shred of dignity she has left, and move on? She is already legally divorced. She has a support system. In Danielle's hierarchy, Garrick is at the top with her sons. To Garrick, Garrick is at the top of his hierarchy. Garrick is at the top of his pyramid. Garrick's ego is next. Garrick's dick is next. Then Natalia, the potential other wife. Then that potential other wife. Then maybe a few friends. Then maybe his sons. And then maybe Danielle. Danielle needs to ask herself if she deserves someone who also puts her at the top of the list the way she puts her husband at the top of the list. Garrick just keeps making the same excuses to Danielle. Oh, that Natalia switched over her phone. And Garrick kind of raises his voice a little. He doesn't have that soft, creepy, you know, whispery, culty voice that he does. Garrick yells that they don't even know if she will respond yet or not. And Danielle cries that this was 2 hours ago that she texted her and Natalia said nothing, just crickets. And she left the messages from Danielle on read, but she responded to Garrick 10 million times. So Garrick says Natalia messaged her at times, and there were times where Danielle didn't respond for hours at a time too. And apparently Garrick told Natalia in his communication with her to text sister, and she didn't do what Garrick asked her to. And now Garrick and Danielle are arguing over it. Danielle doesn't know at this point where her relationship is with Garrick because he's going back to Brazil to be with Natalia, and he's going to stay in Brazil for a whole month. He's going to spend a lot longer there. And Danielle knows that she and Garrick are going to need this separation. She thinks it's healthy because she knows their relationship isn't going well. And she knows that there is a potential that Garrick could definitely choose to run away with Natalia. So Danielle is very nervous about going forward with Natalia. And she knows a legal marriage could mean that he might stay there indefinitely in Brazil with Natalia. And Danielle worries, what if this means that this is the end with her husband, that it's definitely over? You know what? I would say good riddance, cut your losses, because Garrick is never going to love and respect this woman the way that she loves and respects him. She already legally divorced him. She has a support system and she should leave. Garrick, as a father, is willing to leave his wife and his two sons behind for a month. And his sons won't be kids or teenagers for long. They're going to grow up fast. And he is spending valuable time he could be spending with his kids, teaching them to be men. Instead, he's prioritizing himself and his dick, gallivanting across Brazil to bang this woman. As he knows, as he is consciously aware that his wife's heart is feeling like it's being shredded in a blender. Last episode, he was talking about how his wife is such a blessing from God and they just knew and it was a testimony and blah, blah, blah. So if God sent Danielle and God is so important to Garrick, why does he treat Danielle like the shit on the bottom of his shoe? This man knows his wife's heart is feeling like it's being shredded in a blender and he doesn't care. He can enjoy himself just fine in Brazil with his new wife. You know, the fact that Garrick can go, knowing how deeply his wife is struggling, that he can actually go and enjoy himself, that says a lot about his character and about the type of man he is, how selfish he is, how narcissistic, how egotistical. And there really isn't much of a man there, if any, to cling to. You know, he's not really a man. I wonder for Danielle. Does she want a father for her sons who would leave them for 4 weeks to go get some pussy as they know their mom is struggling with this? Is that a man? Is that an example to show your kids? Not in my book. That does it for this episode. I'll be back next week with the next episode of Seeking Sister Wife, Season 5, Episode 8, Seeking the Unexpected. Thanks for listening. I'll see you soon. Bye.